It is good to be back in the center of the Cotton Universe. I think what I've got today, despite all some of the short-term issues that we're cotton industry is dealing with, I really think there's some things happening longer term that could be very beneficial for U.S. cotton. And Gary alluded to maybe some projections of 20, 25 million bales going forward, and I agree with that. So several months ago, I was making a presentation at the National Cotton Council's annual meeting, and I felt like rather than just talk about a little bit about a lot of things, different areas of the company, that I would focus on demand building, because a lot has changed over the years in terms of how we go about driving demand. Steve Barrett saw the presentation and asked me to come down here and make the same one. So I will just keep in mind that I'm only going to focus on one aspect of what we're doing, and I'm also going to talk about some things that are changing, who I believe over the long term is going to be a real advantage for U.S. cotton and cotton in general if we can take advantage of that. So if we think about like how cotton goes from, you know, the beginning phase from a seed all the way to the consumer, it goes through a number of phases. Of course, you have to grow it. It's got to be ginned. Of course, nowadays it's going to have to be sustainably produced. It'll be handled by a co-op or merchant, makes its way into a textile mill, converted to a yarn, eventually made into fabric, sold to a brand, made into a garment, ultimately sold to a retailer and then the consumer. So there's a lot of steps involved, and our philosophy at Cotton Incorporated is we have to be kind of involved in all phases of that. So we have various divisions that really touch on all areas. So really, but again, today I'm going to focus mostly on the consumer side, the consumer marketing side. And as complex as the sort of the trail of going from the raw fiber all the way to the consumer is, it's not even close to the complexity today in terms of the consumer journey, which is, think about my generation, years ago, the way you promoted something is you ran ads on television. Consumers saw it enough to where when they went into a store, traditional store, they might see a product. And, yeah, I saw something about that on television. They looked at it, maybe got some help from the sales clerk. In most apparel products in those days and still today are purchased on impulse or not. Well, I should say then were purchased on impulse versus, a lot of analytics that went into it. Well, today the consumer journey is all over the place, and this is don't even try to follow this. But basically, today maybe a consumer gets searching the web, they get an email ad or get some kind of ad that shows up. Maybe eventually they go to a store, but probably are not going to buy it there. They're going to check reviews online to see what other people are saying about it. Maybe they have a mobile. Everybody has a mobile phone these days, and they're looking through their mobile phones to see more information. Maybe even buy it at that stage. They probably or could be getting a digital ad on their phones or on their laptops. Maybe they go back to the store, buy it. Maybe they go home and laptop, think about it, purchase either on their laptop or their mobile device. So a lot goes into the decision process. It's not linear anymore, and the implication as a marketer is that you have to be all over the place today. It's not just about television. It's about many forms of marketing. So in the old days, when I started at Cotton Incorporated, I would say 80-90% of the consumer marketing effort was geared to television. Today, that's going to be less than half. This is the first time this coming year is that more than half of our marketing budget is going to areas outside of television. The digital could be social media. We're doing radio. We're doing other kinds, forms of PR. We're working with bloggers and people who influence other people. So it's a different ball game. We do not have the resources to be on television 12 months a year like we did in 1996 and before. So we have different ways of sort of getting that message across. And this is my generation, this generation here, this audience, this is, for the most part, this is an older generation. The young consumers today, they're getting their information differently than we did. So we're doing a lot in the space of social media. And we use this calendar. We try to make sure that we are reaching consumers all throughout the year. So in television, what we're doing today, sort of the middle there, we typically are on for a couple of months. We have a pause, maybe a few more months, a pause, and then around the selling season, around Christmas time, say October through December, we're on again. But we're in social media just about all the time, and we're in search engines. We're taking advantage of topics like, you know, even things that, you know, we talked about Earth, the sustainability Earth Day, making sure we're getting messages across then. We're getting articles out. We're working again with, again, bloggers to help them carry the message. So we're doing something all the time to reach that younger consumer, because they are the ones that are making most of the purchases and many of the decisions about what kind of fibers they need to be buying. So when we think about television today versus, say, social media and digital, on the left-hand side, in terms of television, it's still the best way to get a broad audience. Just give them information about what you want to say. You only have 30 seconds to do it, so it has to be a very simple message. It builds reach very quickly. It provides sort of immediate awareness. It does drive sales. It helps elevate your brand in terms of to the supply chain, but also to the consumers. But on the right, you know, and we use, you know, the major networks, ABC, Fox, CW, all the rest. You familiar with these? On the margin, what social media has allowed us to do is we can have a deeper conversation. We have can provide more information if we can get consumers to pay attention to things like our websites and other messages. So it allows us to extend the reach of the media plan, more engagement, which is what we need. We can better strategically target demographics, so we can actually focus even more on younger consumers or women or young males, whatever it may be. Real-time optimization and metrics, more and more metrics are available, so we can see what seems to be working and what doesn't. And it's a very short lead time and very adaptable, meaning, you know, with television, a television commercial, it takes a long time to produce them. They're very expensive. If you run them and they stink, you know, you're kind of stuck with them. It's not like with digital, you can continue to evolve. You can continue to craft your message. You find out what works, take that off. If it doesn't, it's much cheaper to do. And it's proving to be, on the margin, probably our best way of getting to consumers these days. You may not be familiar with some of these, but I guarantee if you're in the, you know, under 30, you probably are. My kids are aware of all these. I couldn't name half of them. I knew Men's Health and a few others. But there are many of these websites that are out there where consumers are buying a product, and we're making sure that we're on those to be relevant. Now, if you're me and you're trying to promote cotton, or if you're Bruce Atherley promoting U.S. cotton directly, we have sort of two questions. My question is that I have to answer from brands and retailers is why cotton versus something else. Bruce at CCI or Gary are going to be asking have to answer the question why U.S. cotton. So these two things dovetail, and it's a tough. You know, we have to have answers for that question. It's not that, oh, it's great, you know, it's produced in the U.S. Well, you know, many times consumers, they don't care about that. So we've got to give them some kind of multiple reasons to care about cotton and to care about U.S. cotton. So I'm going to focus my message today just on the cotton side. Gary's talked about sustainability and U.S. cotton, and we'll kind of merge those two in a little bit later. But we think there's three basic categories of messaging that tell that story of why cotton. So it's not just one thing. There could be a health and wellness benefit to cotton, put it in that bucket. It could be a strategic benefit like comfort, or maybe if it's an athletic wear, cotton doesn't retain odor like synthetics. It doesn't pill. So that would be an example of a strategic benefit. Or if it's in like sheets, they're softer, sleep better. And then the third piece, which is rising in importance, and it's not going to go away, is sustainability. And I agree 100% with Gary on this, is we can turn this from a nuisance to an advantage for cotton, and particularly U.S. cotton. So what I want to do is, when we want to say something about cotton or even U.S. cotton, everything that we do in terms of our messaging has to be approved by the USDA. And they've been working more closely with us here recently, and we have been able to get more and different types of messages approved. So we're in a much better position today to be more competitive and more combative than we have been. And rather than focus on one or two kind of messages, we can focus on a number. And these are some examples, and I'm going to go through these. One of the things that cotton does better than the synthetics is cotton washes clean. That's kind of important. That's a sustainable message, because if you have a product and it retains odors or it doesn't wash clean and you toss it out after, you know, a few months of wear, that's not a very sustainable story. So we have a number of messages. So what I want to do is kind of show you some examples. Be very visual here. The first is just one of the three television commercials. And in that commercial, we're only focused on one message, which is comfort. So we show a woman in a very uncomfortable situation. So why should she have to be uncomfortable in her clothes? And then after that, we're going to show you some things that are show other attributes and things that are shown in the digital and social media world. So we'll start with the commercial.
So that's my ex-girlfriend. That's my ex-ex-girlfriend. That's my ex-ex-ex-girlfriend. But I still got space for that special someone.
Dating can feel uncomfortable. Your clothes shouldn't. Cotton, the fabric of our lives.
This shows the versatility of cotton. One of the things that we want to do in the ads today is get people interested in finding out more. So we always try to drive them to our website. And that's where you can find out the, you know, everything from sustainability to different fashion looks and why cotton is a better choice than synthetics and so many applications. We do track the number of hits, how long they stay engaged, what messages tend to resonate, so that we can always be crafting changes to those messages. As I said before, we don't have the resources to promote like a major brand would do. But what we can do to leverage our resources is we can work with partners to help them carry that positive message about cotton. So we've been doing more and more of that, and I'll show you some examples a little later. But this is something that we found to be very successful. It gets closer to the actual point of sale. And again, it's sometimes it's better for your customer to carry that message than even us. Oops, let me show what happened there. One more time. Okay, that looks like it's supposed to come up, what it was. All right, let me click one more time. There you go. So in the past, I won't go through all the strategic partnerships, but, this past year, last year, 2018, we were working with a major partner every month of every of the entire year. If you're shop online for shoes, or in particularly women's clothing, Zappos is one we've worked with. Everyone's familiar with Bed Bath & Beyond. I'll show you a unique fashion show that we did with Amazon. But, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond is a major seller of home furnishings. We work with them to promote the cotton part of cotton of some sheets. We gave them the information about what you can say about cotton and why cotton makes a difference. So we're very successful there in terms of getting them to promote the fiber, not just Cotton Incorporated. Amazon is one that we've been keeping an eye on for the last couple of years. It's astounding the number of hits and the amount of traffic they have on their website. 200 million people per month, according to their visitors per month. So they're obviously the same people many times. 300 million paid accounts. They reach 53% of the adults online who spend $500 or more on women's adult clothing over the past 6 months, and they're expected to be the largest retailer, or probably already the largest apparel retailer by a long shot. So one of the things that was concerning with more and more people shopping online, you probably had this experience, it's harder to find the cotton, the content, the fiber content. And one of the things we wanted to do with Amazon is show them that fiber content does make a difference. So we got with Amazon. They had never done a fashion show or even thought about how to market the clothing. And we said, look, we'll get together, we'll do a fashion show. It'll feature nothing but cotton products. But everything that we promote, not like a traditional fashion show, but everything that's going to be promoted could be actually purchased on Amazon. So this was an experimental thing. They'd never done it before. They were a little difficult to work with at the beginning. But we pulled it off. This fashion show was held in New York. And I'll just show you a little quick video. I think the sound may be down a little bit on this. But just visually, what that entailed. And I'll talk about some of the comments after the fashion show. So we'll get to that. One more click.
Runway show in New York City, and everything that you're about to see on the runway is cotton. So that means that you're not only getting stylish and on-trend looks, but they're comfortable as well.
It's a very comfortable, soft, natural fiber. So it's easy to take care of, but it's always going to look good.
It's breathable, it's comfy, throw it in my suitcase, wash it when I need to. It's just like ready to go on all of my adventures.
So right now we're behind the scenes at Fashion Delivered for Cotton. It's all about access to the runway because it's amazing to see things walk and grab them in that moment.
Every look that you're going to see on the runway is shoppable with just one click. I'm very impatient. I want to buy it right now. So you can do that with this.
I'm an Insta girl in an Insta world. I want to buy what I see right now.
Press your button, literally. And big people are watching them on their phones or on their laptops.
You can buy everything you see today. You don't have to wait 6 months. You know, you can have it right now.
Cotton's so versatile. It's so comfortable. So you can really tailor it in with the trends.
What's so great about cotton, it's easy, it's comfortable, and it's so wearable.
At the end of the day, you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort.
We had bloggers there, we had fashion experts, and I was actually at this event, and I was the oldest person there by a factor of two. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing, actually. But it's a young group, and, these are people. And the most important thing, I think, after this was I had the team from Amazon coming up to me, and they were introduced to me, and they said they had no idea this could be done, and said they changed their whole thinking about how they promote fashion, And I think we got a continuation. We're continuing to work with them. I don't know if we're going to do it the same kind of fashion show again. But again, it's continuing to talk to them about the importance of that consumers do care about fiber content and that they need to be, you know, a little more active in terms of promoting the cotton side of it. There's other, like, websites that people go to shop. You know, this is one from Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop. It's grown quite rapidly. We actually work with them. They've got a cotton shop or had a cotton shop. And I'll show you what this says. You know, they're all into health and wellness. It says, at Goop, we believe in making every choice count, from the products we use to the food we eat and the clothes we wear. It's in our DNA to check the label. We want to feel confident in our clothes, which is why we invest in the best fibers out there, like cotton. So cotton's not a bad guy to them. Cotton is a good guy. And that's one of the things we're trying to again, change the narrative in some of these retailers, that cotton has a sustainable story. Cotton has attributes that they didn't know about, and we got to continue to tell that message. Now, this is some of the things that the game changers going forward. Some of this will be a little bit of a nuisance, but in the long term, this is going to be, I think, our biggest opportunity to claw back market share and to drive global demand to the point where the U.S. cotton, the world's going to need more U.S. cotton. We work with CCI, and we do an international survey of consumers, and this talks about, you know, consumers who say sustainable influences their clothing purchase decisions. In the U.S., it's 47%, and if you took California out of the U.S., which I'm sure many of you would like that to happen, that number would be even less. So we're far less than the rest of the world. But what's going to happen is this is, we know it's growing in the U.S., and we know it is, you know, is, it probably will grow outside the U.S. And so consumers are more and more concerned about sustainability in all industries. They want to know more about their clothing and what's in their clothing. Now, when we ask them, well, in terms of clothing, what does it mean when you talk, in your mind, sustainability? What do you think about? Do you think about the textile processing, dyes, and finishes? And the answer, 93% said they look to the fiber to determine the sustainability of clothing. So like it or not, right or wrong, that's how they look at whether something's sustainable. The fiber content's the most important component. Now, the good news is, at least at the consumer level, because cotton is natural, they still think cotton is the most sustainable of all the fibers. Now, some of these other fibers had increased relative to cotton, but we still have a competitive advantage. That's not the case when you talk to brands and retailers. They're, you know, in some cases, they don't believe that cotton is the most sustainable choice. So that's another issue. But this is, we still have the advantage at the consumer level, and we need to reinforce that. Polyester is only half of cotton, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Polyester is facing some serious challenges now with the microplastics, and that's where our competitive advantage is going to be going forward. So one of the things we wanted to do in our promotion is, we know consumers are concerned about the environment and what they eat and other things, and they do take action in other market segments, but for some reason they have not, in many cases, adopted that in clothes. They talk about it's important, but they actually don't do it. So one of the things we've done is try to make a stronger link to why they should care about some of these issues. So this one reads, you read your makeup labels, but do you read your clothing labels? What's on your skin? Know the truth. You eat natural foods, but do you wear natural fabrics? Know where your fabric comes from. Know the truth. And we drive them back to our websites and provide more information. You think about what goes in your body. And my kids are like this. They won't eat anything unless it's, you know, they've gotten all the scientific information behind it, but they don't think sometimes about what goes on their body. Wear fabrics that come from a plant. Know the truth. You know about plant-based eating, but have you tried plant-based clothing? Wear fabric from a plant. Know the truth. And last, you eat clean, but do you dress clean? Wear natural fabrics you can feel good about. Know the truth. Another trend that's going to, it's out there, and cotton is working on it, is this whole concept of recycling. Now, in the retailer world, they call this closed-loop manufacturing. What they would like to see is, they sell clothing, the clothing is worn, it comes back, it gets put back into the mix, and they make new clothes out of it, and it's just like this continuous loop. Well, that's not good for us if you're growing cotton, because we don't need any more. And that's not going to happen. You can't really do that with cotton. But we had to have some kind of answer. So we've been partnering with a company who converts, takes old cotton clothes, primarily denim jeans. They convert that to insulation. So it's home insulation. So it's much of that is donated to rebuilding homes like from Habitat Humanity. So it's a good story for us. And we're getting brands and retailers every year joining more and more to do this. We've had over 2 million pieces of denim collected. We have a new partner this year who's going to put a huge billboard in Times Square talking about the Blue Jeans Go Green recycling program. But we have to have other answers as well. And one of the things that we're somewhat optimistic about is the possibility of working with a company that they think they can take some enzymes. If you took piles of clothing, put these enzymes in there, it would actually dissolve the cellulose of the cotton and back into the sugars, which could be repurposed for, you know, everything from energy to other uses. So it wouldn't actually compete with our own fiber. So we're looking at different ways to have a story there. This is where we have the advantage. I'm hoping most of you have seen some kind of articles recently about the growing concern about not only just plastics in the water, but microplastics. Polyester releases fibers, cotton releases fibers, but cotton's fibers degrade in water. Polyester will stay there in perpetuity. And there was a couple of articles recently. I think you saw the article where they fished this whale out of or beached whale in Indonesia. They found that it was dead. It was found it had 48 pounds of plastic in it, which killed it. There was an article in National Geographic just a couple weeks ago saying they have sampled waters in the deepest crevices of the oceans, and they have found that there are shrimp-like creatures who are eating microplastic particles. It's everywhere. It's made its way. Textiles account for 35% of the microplastics in the water, and that's not cotton. I mean, I know there's some counter arguments that Gary had heard when his recent trip to Europe, but for the most part, we know that cotton biodegrades pretty rapidly. Synthetic fibers don't, and it's a growing concern. So we've got to take advantage of this. One of the things we've done work with the USDA is. We've gotten some approved messaging, which we're running on the internet. We're working with CCI. I think they're also producing some materials on the microplastics. And here's just a recent example of what we're talking about.
Did you know that textile microfibers generated from washing clothes at home can directly affect the oceans and lakes around us? Let's break it down, literally. Textile microfibers can accumulate in waterways and break down at different rates over the course of roughly 1 month. In fresh water, like rivers and lakes, cotton microfibers will break down nearly 86%, rayon fibers 83%, cotton polyester fibers 37%, and polyester fibers 0%. In salt water, cotton microfibers break down nearly 67%, rayon 60%, cotton polyester nearly 33%, and polyester again, 0%. Make a difference. Dress responsibly. Check the label. For more information, visit cottontoday.com, the resource for cotton and the environment.
We have actually done research. We got some new research, actually. We've looked at it in freshwater. We've looked at it in seawater. And they've actually revised the study that was just done in wastewater. So we can compare how cotton degrades versus the other fibers. We don't have it. We've got an advantage over all fibers. Only a slight advantage of rayon because that's a cellulosic fiber, but in all those studies, it shows that polyester really doesn't hardly degrade at all. There's no trend. Once it degrades a little bit, it pretty much stays in the waters. And the implication is if we continue on this current trajectory of the production of synthetic fibers, that there will be three times as much microplastics in the water by 2050 as there are today. So if it's a problem today, is going to be a real problem by 2050. So cotton has, we have an advantage there, but it doesn't guarantee that we're going to be successful. We still have to produce products that compete. We're working to develop technologies to help us in various markets, particularly markets where the pilling or the release of microfibers is a problem, like in fleece wear. So we've gotten 100% cotton products that now we're showing as alternatives, sweatshirts, like we have some cotton wool, I think, which is a good product that shows that would biodegrade versus synthetic products. One of the things that's most promising in terms of what we're seeing from the feedback is that we've taken, in our fabric developments, we've actually got a line that is really super sustainable products, where it's cotton or cotton and wool, and it has minimal processing, meaning it might use natural dyes or only a little bit of dyes. And this would be for the markets that are, you know, that really want to be extra sustainable, like Patagonia and some of these others. And this is we've got more interest in this line than in any other line we've had. So we have solutions now with cotton that we can compete in many of these markets. Now, that's just a sort of a flavor of the consumer side. I didn't really go into the supply chain, but we work with brands and retailers and mills all around the world. We do technical workshops. We educate these brands and retailers about cotton. That's where the challenge in many cases on sustainability is. Webinars, we're looking for different ways to be more efficient in our communications. We have like 600 meetings just from this division alone a year with over 300 companies. Gary referenced Cotton Leads as a sustainability tool, 553 partners. So there's a lot going on to help promote cotton. Some of which you can see, some of which you don't see, because they do take place behind the scenes. And I'll finish by just simply saying, I've talked about just cotton. Gary was talking about the protocol in U.S. cotton. I really believe that this is an opportunity. It's in our interest, not only, even if U.S. cotton were perceived as the most sustainable, we want to raise the level of the awareness and the perception of cotton in general. We want U.S. cotton to be the best of the best, not the best of the worst. So we'd love to see all producing countries improve their sustainability, because with issues now with the synthetic fibers, we have the opportunity to use this as a competitive tool. And I do think that despite the fact that I know this creates some kind of issues in terms of filling out more forms and doing this and that, and maybe I get a premium, maybe I don't. But I think all of cotton will benefit. The premium will be, in the longer term, that increased demand will lead to a better overall value for cotton, and that benefits all producers all over the world. So I can just put my 2 cents in saying I really support, our company supports the protocol, and we think this is a great opportunity to help us compete, not only for just U.S. cotton, but cotton in general. Again, thank you, Steve and Mary Jane, for all the help. And I don't know if we have time for a question or two, but I'll be happy to. I'm going to be here through lunch. So, where's Steve? Steve. If you guys want to ask me a question about what we're doing here, I didn't touch on ag research. I didn't touch on our contamination work we're doing and all the other things that we do at Cotton Incorporated. Just simply focused on this demand side.